is OMM Patriots Monday. Time for our conversation with Bill Belichick, being brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health. McFarland Energy, Fraser Engineering, great people doing great work, and by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Bill, how are we doing today?
Good, Glenn. Good. Kristen, Lou, how's it going?
Good.
So, what do you do on bye weekend when you get a few days off? Do you get totally away from this and get your head absorbed in something other than football? Or do you sit there and start going over Jets film? What do you do?
Yeah, a little bit of both. It's good to get ahead a little bit, but it's also good to forget about football for a few hours.
Can you decompose?
A few hours.
I was going to say, can you decompose? You're in the middle of the football season. It seems to me like your head is in football, football, football. How the hell do you decompose for even a couple days?
Yeah, well, it's not that hard. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there's definitely a saturation level. It's good to back it off for a little bit and then get refreshed.
Do you get away for a couple days?
A little bit. Maybe a day.
Yeah.
I know any time's a good time for a bye week, but I used to love the bye week when it came after the eighth game, like that halfway point, right? And you guys have six games left in the regular season where really guys are getting healthy at the right time. I mean, is that the ideal scenario for you? You know, is having like I guess I would be a short push, right? Because I remember one time we had it after the second game when I was in Seattle. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, well, they gave it to us early there in 2001. They gave it to us the last week.
That's right. Have you ever seen a team who has it like, I want to say the San Diego Chargers one year had it, their first week was a bye week, like years ago.
Yeah.
So they went 16 straight, went right out of camp. Had a bye week, and then went
good
six.
Is that, right?
Kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Wait, do you have any control? Can you, like, no? They just, it's all based
well, the
on?
Only, the only control you have is if you play in the Europe game, then you get it the following week. So when we played Tampa and the Rams in London, we had it the following week. Remember, that was Hurricane Sandy one year. And you're right. Anytime's a good time. Whenever you get it, you get it, so. Be happy with it and move on.
So the Jets, obviously Jet Week, big week for you guys. But do you, with the extra time, do you spend any time looking ahead, any homework, looking ahead to maybe that following week? Or is it all just about the Jets, like an extra week and a half, 2 weeks for the Jets?
Well, the way the schedule falls, Lou, the Jets have played a couple teams that we're going to play. So they played Buffalo last week. We still have them. They played Miami a couple weeks ago. We have them. They played Minnesota. We have them. So... there's some crossover games there that as we watch the Jets, we also see somebody else.
Do you sit down and watch that Minnesota game last night like the rest of us do, or do you just say, I'll see it later on?
I saw some of it, yeah. I lasted until about middle of the third quarter. That was all I could. Couldn't last longer than that.
Did you gain anything from... like Chris Collinsworth, like the analysts, like when they're breaking stuff down, you're like, ooh, that's a good point. Do you watch it as a fan, or are you critiquing as you go?
Yeah. It's hard to TV scout. I mean, occasionally they give you some good insight. You know, they talk to somebody and maybe they comment on, well, this is how the coach said we were going to do this, or this is how players said we're going to do that. But I'd say for the most part, that's just as a fan, you're just kind of watching it.
So you talked last week about first week of the bye week is getting your own act together, your own team. So getting healthy would be the biggest positive going forward. But what else do you believe is something you need to do here if you're going to be successful and reach your goal?
Well, the big thing we want to do is just try to improve, and we can do that in every area. So we've looked at those offensively, defensively, special teams, running game, passing game. Fundamentals, tendencies, so forth. So I think we'll take action where we can this week. Some of those things that we looked at won't apply this week. Some of them will. And we'll just take it week by week here.
How important is that? We were talking about this earlier. How important is the running game? You had a game in which you took a wide receiver and you used him as a running back because you had injuries. How important is establishing that running game to take the pressure off of Brady and your passing game, to be able to make that defense play honestly, Bill, and open up what we believe is a really potent offense?
Well, if you can be successful at it, it's good. I don't personally believe that you do something just to do it, just for the sake of doing it. Our goal is to move the ball and score points. So if we're doing that, if they're all runs or if they're all passes, that doesn't really matter to me as long as we move the ball and score points. If they're balanced, that's fine too. So we'll just have to see. Again, some of that depends on where we're at. Some of it depends on what we're seeing from our opponents.
Is it important, though, to get the defense of the opponent to respect what you're doing in a running game? If they know that you can't run or they don't feel that you're capable of doing it.
Well, if they're not defending the run, then you've got to be able to run it. That's right. And if you can't, then they'll continue to not defend it, and you'll probably be throwing against something that you don't want to throw at. But if they're going to put everybody on the line of scrimmage and have more guys than you can block up there, I don't know how many times you want to run it in there for 1 yard just to say, well, we ran it. I don't really think that is the answer.
You know, I think last week reporters were asking you about special teams and kick returns and where you guys rank, and it's just not normally a Patriot team. I think it was 29th in kick return. The new rule, not being able to run up, how much of a role is that playing into it versus obviously just being better at it, coaching it up better, but just not being able to run up, is that affecting the kick returns, those guys getting more of a return because of it?
Well, I think the rules have affected the return game a little bit, but we're all playing on the same rules, so we have to do a better job of coaching and playing and executing than what we have.
But maybe more so in the past, do you think of, well, we got a guy that can kick out of the end zone, let's just do that and start at 25 and go from there?
Well, that's again, that's a possible strategy. I would say there's times that we're going to be playing in the next 6 weeks, well, that just wouldn't be possible
because of weather.
And I think the last six games, five of the six anyway, we played one in Miami, but five of the six are in potentially cold weather days with wind. So that may affect the kicking game more than what it has in some of the previous 10 that we've played. So we'll have to see how that goes. There's no way to predict it, but it's certainly a possibility, something we have to be more aware of than you would be in your September games.
Is that, for the special teams, is it specifically kickoff and kickoff return, is it one of those situations, is it more scheme, or is it personnel, or is it a mix of the two?
No, I think we have enough players. I think we've been good at times, we just haven't been consistent, so we have to coach it better, we have to execute it better, and we're going to be seeing good returners certainly this week with Roberts, but we'll be seeing good returners here all the way through to the end of the season, so our coverage units are going to be challenged every week, which they normally are in the National Football League, but they certainly will be the next 6 weeks. So we'll find out where we're at.
When there's no tackling, you know, really at all anymore, and especially how tough it is to, I guess, coach up, how do you, how do you coach these guys up as far as just making it work when you can't physically tackle them? Because tagging off is one thing on a guy that's running, you know, a 4-4 or whatever, and actually trying to tackle that guy in space is a whole other thing. Is there a specific way that you guys go about teaching them how to handle those situations?
Well, we work on tackling every day. So, we work on it. We emphasize it. And, you know, we got to do a better job of it. But we're working on it every day since first day of training camp. Since even in the spring, it's the most important fundamental there is, running and tackling. So we constantly work on those.
This is a random question, and I had a debate with this guy about this like last week. Okay, you're the first guy down, you're a gunner or whatever, you're the first guy down on the punt team, wide open space. Would you throw at a guy and almost burn that guy down just to make the running back, the punt returner kind of move around and slow down? Or would you expect that person to, I guess, break down and try to make a tackle? Like, what's the coaching point there? Throwing at a guy right away like a bullet, like a missile, just to try and see if you can make a play, or should that person break down right beforehand?
Well, I think there's a little bit of a gray area there. It depends on how good of a shot you have at the runner. But let's just say he has a little bit of time and space to avoid you. Then what we would want to do is maintain some type of leverage on the runner.
So where you're diving at the person would be fine, yeah, so as long as you want to send them like to the sideline.
That's right. So if I'm on the right side of you, I want to keep him from going to my right and push him back to the left, because any teammates that I have, if they see me over there, they kind of expect me to hold that leverage. And if I lose it, then they've committed to another spot, and now I've lost what I have, and now who takes that over. So,
okay, so I was technically right.
Oh, on the,
yeah, of course. So, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Well, you did say it was a gray area.
I said dive.
I'd like to hear what the other guy said in this argument.
It doesn't matter.
That might pay off. People have been asking you about ball distribution because it looks a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. You've always said that Tom Brady throws to the open guy. There are certain things and certain way that we play, but we want to go to the open guy. Do you feel to this point that's the way the ball has been distributed, or is that something that you feel needs to be improved on?
Well, I think we can do better in every area, running game, passing game, run defense, pass defense, special teams. So we've addressed everything, looked at everything, and talked to each of our players about areas that they can improve in. And hopefully we'll have more production in the passing game. Hopefully we'll have more production in the running game. Hopefully we'll score more points.
Is there a guy so far, just call it the midway point, that's lived up to expectations or actually exceeded your expectations based on what you thought they were capable of doing when the season started?
I don't know. I've really thought about that, Christian. I'd say right now what our mentality is where everybody, wherever anybody is right now, coaches, players, whatever their role is, let's try to move past it and move into higher ground. Let's try to improve by 5, 10%, each one of us, all 70 of us, including the coaches and practice squad players, 75, however many it is. Let's all of us try to improve 5, 10%. What can we do better? How can we contribute more or contribute at a higher level than we're contributing right now? And I think if we all do that, the team will benefit greatly.
So, Coach, Matt Patricia had his team coach outside in the snow, and the next five games are all indoors. You guys is different. You guys have to perform in that weather. But when you go out and practice in bad weather rather than, say, indoors, is it more than just preparing for cold weather? Do you do that, too, to test your guys, like mentally, kind of to find out, guys, I don't want to hear you make complaining, bitching, making excuses? Is that part of the reasons why you would do something like that as well?
Well, the majority of our games are outdoors, Lou, so whatever the conditions are, they are. We can't control them. So if we practice in them, I think eventually we're going to play in them. I don't know when. It might be this week. It might be next week. Might be next year. Again, those things are not that easily predictable, but at some point we're going to face wind, we're going to face cold, we're going to face heat, we're going to face the sun, we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to deal with all those conditions. So we go out there and practice in them. If that whenever they come up, then we're ready for them.
You will face the sun because you're playing at 1 o'clock, you're playing at 4, well, 4 o'clock might be
difficult.
Well,
I'm just saying, like, handling kicks in the sun and that type of thing, you know, that came up in the Chicago game.
So how different do you coach, and you've had great success in December, in late November, how different do you coach because you're playing against, you know, in the cold weather, and you might be playing against some teams that are not accustomed to playing in the cold weather? How different do you coach in this weather as opposed to earlier in the season?
Well, sometimes the weather affects what you can or can't do, so you have to take that into consideration. But ultimately, it comes down to the players and their ability to execute the plays. So if we can execute them, great. If we can't execute them, then we pull them out and try to do something that we can't execute. So throwing 50-yard post patterns into a 20-mile-an-hour wind, that's not the time for that play. Maybe it's when you're going in the other direction or what have you. So throwing outside routes, if you have a swirling tough wind like we had in Buffalo, sometimes those limit the number of throws or the type of throw that a quarterback can make out there. So it changes the way you might defend it, and also changes what you call on that. Maybe adjust the route instead of running out route. Maybe you run a shorter route that's a hitch, that's a little tighter throw, that's a little more direct throw for the quarterback, as an example.
Will you guys change up the schedule this week because it's Thanksgiving? You guys work that day, you know, put in a bunch of work beforehand, then come back on Friday?
Yeah, we'll try to get ahead of a little bit so we aren't doing as much on Thanksgiving.
Well, this is our question.
Drive of the week.
This is one this week. You know, we're going to wrap things up with our
Mercedes-Benz
drive of the week. Yeah, was that your favorite part?
Yeah, it was great. That was a good drive.
Well, I guess I'll end with this. I had this debate with Little Earl over here. That's his nickname, if you were wondering. And you know, a lot of these analysts put so much faith in all these different, you know, companies, that Pro Football Focus and, you know, Statcast, whatever it is. And I was thinking that the only way you can really get the true analysis of whether a guy is good or not is if the coach gives you the answers. Like, the coach is going to have to give you a grade on that player, because only you know if he was doing the right thing or not, or if he should have caught the ball or not. So how does that guy know? Do you think there'll come a point, that at some point in time, that where your guys' grades will be public knowledge?
Yeah, well, I would just my.
I don't know why you're laughing at that question.
No, I like it.
I think it's a great question. So you see a play on film, and a receiver goes uncovered down the field. So you know that it's probably one of two guys' mistakes, but you don't necessarily know which guy it is, right?
Yeah.
And so, but a lot of times you see the announcers say, well, you know, Fourier should have taken him or Belichick should have taken him. And I'm looking at the play saying, well, it could have been either guy. It just depends on what the call was and what they were doing. A lot of times we look at our plays and we see a mistake there. Maybe we come off the field and, you know, a guy makes a tackle in the backfield and we're like, oh my God, this guy made a mistake. And then he tells us that, well, no, at the line we called something else, and so it wasn't him. It was actually another guy. So, and a lot of times on film we see that. We see a mistake, and then we say, well, you know, we have to go back and hear what the call was before we can. We know somebody's wrong here, but it just depends on what the call was as to which guy's right and which guy's wrong. And so a lot of times we don't know what happened until Monday. We know there's a problem on the play, but until you actually talk to the players and say, okay, what happened on this play? Oh, I thought he said this, or, oh, I, you know, he said it, I didn't hear it, or he said this, but I played that, whatever it is. So you're right. In terms of analytics, you get a lot of, you know, this guy should have them, that guy should have them. But I know from our team, there are times when we don't know exactly what went wrong until you can really sort the play out. So there's no way anybody else could know is the point. And that's sometimes what it looks like is not what it is. And then you often see, you know, players, defensive backs, somebody gets behind the defense for a touchdown and they kind of pull off or don't chase because I don't want to really be chasing the guy because it looks like it was their guy, you know, that kind of thing. You know, so there are some plays like that that kind of definitely skew it. And a lot of times they're big plays. So it's an interesting question and it's an interesting point about, you know, who's at fault, who does what. And it's pretty common for that to be it's pretty frequent that comes up. So, like, a lot of times you have the center slides one way on pass protection, right? So you have a center guard and a tackle blocking a defensive tackle and a defensive end, right? So you're mm-hmm. 3-on-2. And so if one of those guys comes inside, you know, you just have to know what the rule is, and it might be different from our team to the next team as to, is the tackle turning that guy over to the guard or is he staying with him? Is the guard turning that guy over to the center or is he staying with him and the center's helping him? You know, so is it 2-on-1 or is it I let him go to the next guy and then I you know, push out? So, and again, unless you know exactly how that's being coached and what they're supposed to do, then it's hard to know who's right and who's wrong. Same thing happens on punt protection as well. You know, you see guys come through, and a lot of times it's like, oh, well, this guy should have blocked them. But depending on what the rules are on the punt protection and what the rush was, in other words, is he going to stay on the down guy, or are we going to area the down guy and the stack guy, there could be two different ways to do it, and you might not know exactly who was responsible for what until you know how it's coached.
Well, I was going to say, and sometimes you just got to trust the player, because you were mic'd up one time on that touchdown pass from Gordon, that Brady threw to Gordon, and you even asked him coming off, who did you throw it to? And I'm sure he would never admit that he was overthrew Jules, right? So, of course, he's going to admit that, no, I didn't overthrow him. It was a perfect pass. So you got to trust the player sometimes.
Yeah, which I do. It's just when I saw Julian jump for the ball, I thought that he thought it was going to him, and then it kind of went over, and then it was a little short for Gordon and a little long for Julian. But then when I went back and watched the play on film, I think Tom was definitely throwing to Gordon. Yeah. But on the field at the time, I wasn't sure. I mean, it's unusual to have two guys open like that. You're hoping for one, and you know, luckily we had two there.
So we in the media, we get it wrong all the time because we don't know exactly what the specific assignments are.
Glenn, we get it wrong, too. We're watching another team on film, and we've watched all their plays, and we're still at times not sure exactly who was supposed to do what. But I'll say this. If you see a certain player involved in multiple plays like that, it doesn't really matter what it was supposed to be. It's probably they're just going to have problems with it because, you know, a certain player is involved in multiple mistakes. Whatever the call was, that, you know, you just want to keep putting the stress on that player, maybe that combination of players. For example, when you have linebackers that are moving out into combinations with defensive backs, a lot of times the linebackers, because he's not a defensive back and he's not in there with the defensive backs all the time, and he's involved in a 3-on-3 or a 4-on-3 situation, sometimes he'll make the mistake, whereas if it was 3 DBs or 4 DBs, they'd have a better line of communication, right, or better anticipation of what the call was going to be, how to handle it.
So Christian wants to solve all the inequities in the world, and what he wants you to do is, you as a coach, instead of having report cards by the media, he wants you to give a report card in each player, even the negative grades. I'm not sure you're going to do that. Is that well, safe to say? You're not doing that?
I mean, I know, Christian, you know, you've sat in a lot of those meetings, and sometimes you kind of run into conflict as a coach where you look at the play and, all right, so let's say defensively, you know, the end he sort of does his job, the tackle sort of does his job, linebacker sort of does his job, the linebacker sort of does his job, and he gains 6 yards. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, they're kind of doing what they're supposed to do. Like, there's nobody here that's really bad, but they just gained 6 yards. And, you know, we can't have, like, every play can't gain 6 yards and everybody does their job, right? So then there's got to be a little bit higher standard of, you know, what's a high grade or what's an acceptable grade and what isn't. And that's a fine line. It really is, because the players can go out there and do their job, and then they could do a great job of it. They could do a, like, you know, solid job, or it could be, well, it's not perfect, but it's kind of okay. And then, of course, there's the obvious one that it's just, you know, it's you get beat.
Disaster.
That's, yeah. Well, so, and we all get beat. So that's, but I'd say there's a gradation in there between, you know, grade to, you know, A, B, and C, let's call it. So, you know, maybe C's a passing grade, but are you really going to win playing C football? You know, B's good, might be good enough sometime. A, you know, you're looking at that, but it's hard to get straight A's out there. I mean, you got some other A players too. So the grading part of it's a fine line. It really is.
Does each coach grade differently?
Sure. Well,
or do you give them a template? So this is the way, so you can evaluate them, right?
Yeah. Well, I think each let's call it minus is, you know, has a comment with it so that you can identify again. Well, maybe this was a minus, but I might look at it and say, well, you know, it wasn't really that bad. I mean, he didn't quite get it the way, but he's trying, and it was, you know, just one of those things that, you know, whatever happened, but it didn't go. And then there are other ones that are just bad plays, or they're really, really good plays. But all I'm saying is there's a lot of gray in there between some pluses and minuses, and between, you know, how players are graded. And you get these organizations that grade all the players. And to me, I'm thinking to myself, I mean, I have a hard time grading the players, and I know what the call is. There are other things that happen on the field that that override that by a lot. And until you know what those are, you can't really grade accurately.
You ever had a guy with a perfect score?
Well, look, if you're a corner, you know, you might only be involved in 5 plays a game. I mean, it's not like you're playing nose tackle.
Game ball. Perfect score.
Well, but, you know.
It's not my fault. They're scared of me, coach. They won't throw my way.
Yeah, sometimes there are, you know, no opportunities, same thing. You know, so if, you know, there's some players that are involved in a lot of plays, you know, middle linebacker or a center or guard. I mean, they're, every single play goes through them. And then there are other plays. If you have defensive ends, I mean, if the ball runs one way, the other guys, unless they run in reverse, I mean, the other guy's really not that involved in it. He has a responsibility to do. But if you're the backside corner or backside receiver, I mean, you've seen a receiver grades. Like, how do you get a minus as a receiver? You know, drop the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it. You know, otherwise, if you run your 10-yard route or run your 15-yard route or whatever it is, then, well, you've kind of, you know, done your assignment. So, you know, if you drop the ball, then obviously that's a minus. But so I'm just saying there's a difference between, and so really a lot of those plays are, let's call them zeros. I mean, they're really not gradable plays. You want the plays, what's the grade on the plays where the player's actually involved in the play? So for corners and wide receivers, their opportunities are a lot less than for interior linemen, linebackers, guys like that, quarterback. I mean, on a running play, unless he misses the handoff or something, I mean, he's really not really, he could screw the play up. I'm not saying that, but generally speaking, that play now belongs to the runner. That's a passing play, and then that play belongs to the quarterback.
So when you get one of those disastrous plays, players, ex-players have told us, no names, that you like to show video to everybody. Are there certain guys that you know that you can play the video, and that player's going to learn from it and improve? And there are other guys that you're a little bit concerned that if you show it in front of everybody else, as opposed to maybe sitting and talking to them privately?
Well, I think that's a great question, Glenn. I think that's a great question. And I think the answer to that question is if you have a team of 11 people on a particular play and something goes wrong on that play, right, then look, there's the one person who made a mistake, but there's 10 other people, too, that you're also coaching. So when something goes wrong on a play like that, your immediate reaction of, if you're one of the 11 players on the field, is, you know, did I do something wrong? Should I have been there? Should I have had that? Should I have done this? And so I think there's a lot to be said to making sure that we understand who made the mistake. Like, okay, this is Belichick's fault. Everybody else is okay. You have to get this corrected. Or there's times where I've said to the team, look, this is just bad coaching. This is a bad play in this situation. I'm not going to call this again. This is my fault. Just forget about this one. Okay, this is on me. All right, let's move forward here. And, you know, I'm not going to call this again in that situation. I put you in a bad spot. That's just as bad coaching. And a lot of times players will come off and say the same thing. It's like, look, I screwed this up. I should have made the play. I was right there. I missed the tackle. Call it again. I'll get it the next time. Okay, great. And then there are the ones that sometimes are a little bit harder to determine. Well, I was doing what I thought I was supposed to do. Next guy's doing what he thought he's supposed to do. Next guy's doing what he's supposed to do, and they gain 15 yards. Well, there's something wrong. We have to fix that. And so if I just take one guy over in a corner and say, hey, look, you just do this, well, then what about the other 10 guys? You know, do they know that we have the problem fixed? Or because if you don't identify what's happened wrong, then a lot of times another player will try to make an adjustment. So it's everyone the same play again. Now he makes an adjustment because he does something different than he did the last time because he thinks it was wrong.
Right.
Right. So he now needs to know, okay, you're right. This is what's wrong. You have to fix it. And you have to tell the player that. You have to tell the other players that so that they know what's right and what's wrong.
So was he sensitive? And then when you, I'm sorry.
Of course not.
No, you weren't sensitive.
No, I think I only messed up on one thing.
One thing.
I think it was one thing.
You played
the whole
You fell down that one time.
No, that's been well documented. Thank you again for bringing it up. Okay. I appreciate that.
We got the video if you want to see.
Okay, thank you again for retweeting it. That makes me feel good inside. No, one of the questions was that you were, you know, I don't know who we were playing, but it was you're doing your normal thing on a Wednesday. Okay, asking questions, and for some reason I thought. You expected me to know who the second string throwing safety was, which I probably should have known, but because he went to Nebraska. I think that's what it was. He went to Nebraska or something like that. And I was like the one guy that I was like, I don't have to know or worry about this guy. I think it was okay, this guy's a second string strong safety, and you went to Nebraska, which is
true.
I went to Colorado. Yeah. Rivalry. Well, I don't know.
You didn't know him.
I did not know him. I think I gave you the what?
But the next week, I bet you know those guys.
Oh, hell yes.
So there's always something to be said for that.
No, exactly.
Silver lining.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not what you don't know. It's what it motivates
it
you
worked.
To do.
Yeah. No, it worked. It definitely worked. Now when I go through my life, I'm always looking for the second string strong safety.
I should read your
I got to finish this off. All right, so that was the question / drive of the week. That was brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers.
Our conversation with the coach has been brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners, committed to an active game plan on and off the field. We'll see you next week, Bill. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
All right, same. Happy Thanksgiving. Same to you, listeners. Week. Yep, thanks.
See you. Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here at OMF at 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. We'll talk, Lou. You and I will talk because Christian's not done yet. He still has more questions. I think Christian's very sensitive about the fact that he didn't know the backup.
I just heard him. He said, back in 04, why did you yell at me after that Denver game? Because I had proper coverage. I thought I ran the right route, and this guy screwed it up. So now he's debating over what happened in 04.
So he's still in the studio with Bill right now discussing it. Like, I brought the question up because there are some people that are, you played with guys that are very sensitive, and if somebody raises their voice on them, you know they wilt like a little flower. I didn't realize that Fourier was the wilting flower.
Yeah, I know. But it makes perfect sense. Yeah. Right? Because, I mean, if one dude screws it up and everybody else thinks they did, so you want to make sure you go to the one guy so the other 10 don't make their own adjustments on the fly, thinking that they messed up.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Show's back. All right.
Yeah, we're good. Taking off.
It doesn't matter!
I like it, though. That was good.
We got a lot of
good
stuff
conversation.
Today.
Like Coach Shane, we could have talked about that for hours hours.
We could have. And we could all do the that. See you, Bill.
See you, Coach.
Have a good one.
It's real information right there, boys. Real information.
Well, you could tell.
Why
are
you so sensitive?
What? I'm not sensitive. I thought this. Listen, you're just so angry that he just kind of slapped you around.
Look at this. Can you tell they kind of like I don't know, struck a nerve by the wrong? Because I don't think he wasn't upset about anything, but just the fact that outside observers, media, whoever it is, when they criticize a player, whether it be a lineman or this guy had a bad game, Bedard's and Borges used to put out the grades, right?
The report cards, yeah.
Yeah,
he's not a big fan, I don't think, of the report cards.
No, that's what I mean.
Cards,
like the tackle had a bad game or the corner had a bad game. And a lot of those times he's probably reading them the next day saying, you people have no idea what you're talking about. You don't know what the call was. You don't know what the responsibility was. You don't know there was actually the guy that was next to him that screwed up to make him look bad. And all these people out there, they're analyzing the game from a TV. Even 22, all 22s, they don't know what the play call is. So you could see that, like I said, he wasn't angry, about it, but there's a lot of discussion as far as responsibility and who's really not playing well.
Well, even
like his view of who's not playing well is completely different than ours.
Yeah, and I would say, I'm trying to think, okay, what's the hardest for if you're not in the building, if you're not on the team, what is the one part of the game where it's the toughest to figure out?
I think it's
out?
Secondary.
Yeah, it's secondary because he just sat there. I don't even know if we were on mic or not. Like, we were sitting there talking about like a corner, like corners getting beat or defensive backs getting beat. Like, how do you know that the safety, specifically the safety, got burnt on a play and didn't help the other corner on a go route because he was told to sit there and wait on the tight end. You were going to double the tight end. Well, that's his job. You don't know that's his job. You think he's slow. You think he can't read the defense, but his job was to sit there. The other guy's
especially with a guy like Gronk, like you said.
Yeah, so you got to give him more attention. So they're telling, listen, we're okay if you're late. We're okay if you're late helping that other corner over the top. We're going to tell him to be more aggressive. Okay, well, he loses at the point of attack. The receiver goes deep. The strong safety who's sitting on the tight end is going, oh, crap, I see out of the corner of my eye, this guy's running free. Screw it. I'm bailing on my responsibility. I'm going to go help the cornerback.
And now
now I'm too late. Now they see me sprinting desperately, and now everyone thinks I screwed up.
Right.
Like, oh, crap. So screw it. So nobody wants to be outed on film, so they just, it wasn't me.
They don't run.
Because that player knows that despite what the TV analyst says, that he's okay in the meeting room because the coach said, well, it's not your job anyways. It's not your job. So you're not getting a plus or a minus. You did your job. You're getting a zero, which is what he talked about. But the thing that stood out to me the most was we talk about the little things with all these other teams and just how the importance of relaying the information. Well, you asked the question about do you take one guy aside and say, listen, you're screwing up because you don't want to embarrass him? No, not because you want to embarrass him. You take them all over there because everybody has to know, even if you're backside, even if you're not even in the play, you need to know what the new rule is. Like, if this guy screwed up and he thought he was doing everything right, you need to know that now the new information has been relayed to that guy, which affects everybody else. I'm not saying that other teams don't do it, but you can tell it's so important to him and just everybody involved that the information is shared equally, right? So now everybody's got the right information. Now everybody's accountable. Now, and even if you call the right play and everybody's getting a plus, well, hell, it got 15 yards.
Let's just ask
that's the defensive or the coach's problem.
Let's just ask that question every week.
I know.
right?
Come back next week and ask that same question.
You know, and you were giving me a hard
discussion.
Time for that.
No, you can finish the discussion. It was a good question. No,
I don't think he actually answered the question, though.
Well, the only thing I would say I give you a hard time is that he's never going to let his negative grades go public. The one thing about Belichick is, in a lot of questions that are asked to him during the course of the week, it's a succeed or fail league. You either do something right or you do something wrong. He's never going to rat out one of his players publicly.
That's right.
Yet, you know, privately he's sitting there going, this guy screwed up. He just admitted. One guy screwed up out of 11. We've got to let that guy know. But he's never going to let that out publicly. Well, so he would never allow
but see, that's why I feel
grades
like
that
yeah,
out there.
But those grades, I don't know how these guys even come up with them without knowing the play call, the coverage, the responsibilities.
Because they're doing filling a column. But, Bedard does it every week. You already talked about
that. We're talking about even the pro football focus.
You know, those guys, when they grade out a D-tackle or a defensive end or a corner or a linebacker or safety, and
that's Collinsworth's company, right? That's his company.
Yeah, but it's like, how the hell do you – it's not black and white. It's not, you know, baseball. You grade out an outfielder. You know, how's he hitting? Is he getting on base? Is he drawing walks? Is he striking out? Is he making plays in the outfield? Is he covering ground? I get it. But in the NFL – you know, you're grading out these guys. Like you said, like there's some guys that have like rank 100th that they really like. Other guys that are 15th that they don't like. You know, like
there too, but
the public grades. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so how the hell? I would laugh if I was Bill and I was looking at these grades of my own players, because I would sit there and I'd wonder how accurate they are from how I feel about them, because I'm asking them to do different things. You know, Bill's known for going out and getting up these free agents or trading for these guys that are special teamers and putting them at linebacker or wherever it may be. And they might grade out poorly because they don't do this or they don't do that. But he might sit there and say, I like them because they do what I asked them to do. That's why I got them here, certain skill set. You can grade them poorly all you want. I don't care. So it's just I don't know how these guys do those grades.
So I think that's
without knowing what the hell they wanted to do.
And see, that's why I think he answered that question, and he went on forever about answering that, because I think it does bug him a little bit, that when you see some of this stuff out there, there's negative or positive stuff being done by players, and he's sitting there seeing something totally different. And I would say that he probably knows this stuff a little bit better than, let's say, Condoleezza Rice or some of the other coaches around the NFL right now. So he sees it differently. And, you know, what do you do, though? Do you get pissed off at it?
But you know what else? Here's an equation that, or I guess a variable that is unaccounted for is, and he talked about it, if it's a bad play, it's a bad play.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad by design. It never was going to be successful in the first place. So
yeah, you know that's
I'm
true.
Grading you on a play that sucks, that was never going to be successful in the first place because we did it wrong. We're never going to call it again because it's a bad play.
Yeah.
So how do you know if you're a Pro Football Focus that the coach screwed up and there was a flaw in the design of the play from the beginning? So now I'm being judged on something that had no success rate whatsoever?
Yeah, see, no, I think you're onto something, though, and you've seen this, and other players have said the same thing, and he just said it today. He'll sit there and tell the players, my fault, I screwed up. And people, I know the media laugh when he comes after a game and he said, bad coaching, bad playing, whatever, you know, we didn't coach well enough, we got to coach better. I think he's serious about that stuff, that he's willing to take the responsibility, where you see guys like Hugh Jackson basically saying, I got to take over the offense because that guy's not doing it. I know what I'm doing. He doesn't know what he's doing. I don't think he does that. He won't do something.
Well,
like that.
I also think the thing is that the other teams are, and they're using this for scouting free agents, so they'll use Pro Football Focus not because they deem it, you know, necessary or valid, but Maloney's doing it, Ordway's doing it, and they're evaluating. So we got to know how they're using this and they're evaluating. So I guess I should do it also.
Well, when you look at a guy that's, say, like Trey Flowers, who's becoming a free agent, you know, and Pro Football Focus has him graded out as one of the better defensive ends in all of football. Like, you want to know how other teams view him, right? Because that's going to affect free agency.
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe how much competition you're going to have of how other teams look at him and say, oh, man, listen, he's graded out as one of the better DNs. You know, so now you understand what ballpark he's going to be in, maybe financially.
He's going to make some money.
Yeah, not just him, but other players, right? Yeah. So, the guys who might be interested in.
The other thing is, like, we were talking about when you guys came back on.
Yeah, that was nice.
It was, you know, it's like the most basic thing in any offense, at least, I guess, the cornerstone in any offense before the play is the mic call. Mm-hmm. You see Brady do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Okay, some
Mike's
teams,
51.
Sometimes some teams have the center do it, but really the quarterback should do it. So the mic is called out, that tells everybody, okay, I see the mic call as a tight end, I know I have number four. If it's a blocking rule, if a pass blocking situation. Now, strong safety comes down. Now that number four is now the defensive end. Now the tackle has number three, who's now not the defensive end. Now it's the strong safety. What if the strong safety doesn't come? Well, okay, now that tackle has to set. Now he's got the end, and I get to go. So let's just say everybody screws it up, and the one guy doesn't get the mic call. He steps down now, and I look like I missed the end, even though it wasn't my job. Right. So these guys who are like trying to figure out like who's got who and who screwed up, you may have probably, I mean, let's say 10 to 15 plays where it's really obvious it was a one-on-one situation whether you won or not. Now, if you want to knock a guy down for dropping the pass, that's obvious. So it's just, I don't know. I guess the point is that they're never going to release the stats because they don't have it. It's not an exact science for them either.
Well, that's not it. I think they don't.
That's it.
They don't want to reveal anything negative about any of their players. They never will. Bill can't do that. We could sit here and watch a game and say somebody sucked in the game. He's not going to say that, even though behind closed doors, he's not only saying the guy sucked. He in front of the 11 other guys in that unit, he's sitting there going, "You sucked."
But I think the frustrating thing would be like this guy's getting railed because he sucked all week, and he's sitting there saying, "Hey, not really."
Yeah, right.
You know, he had one minus play, and the other four you people are bringing up wasn't his responsibility.
And we're beating the crap out of that guy for 5 days during the week.
He was covering up for so-and-so who screwed this thing up. But one of them was a bad coaching call, and the other three was the responsibility of somebody else.
All right, we have to take a break. We're way behind here. We'll take a break right now. We'll get back. We'll open up the phone lines. We haven't done that in a while. 617-779-7937. Load them up.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Davio's just delivered food. Might be a slight issue.
Bill just came back in, too, by the way. During the break, you wanted to talk more about the stats and everything else. Good God. Couldn't get him out.
All I know is, like, he was so jealous.
He was.
That I got a, hey, that's a great question.
I got a great
See the
question.
Way he did that?
Did
See
I
the way
he's
so jealous. He can't let me just have my moment. He has to jump all over and be like, well, blah, 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 blah. Oh, he, you know what? Great
what
question by you,
great
too.
Question.
I didn't get
Thank
a great
you
question.
Very much. Okay, everybody gets a great question.
I didn't
Gold
get
Star, you didn't get a stink eye, though. Like
that's
you
true.
Do. You didn't get that.
No. That's true.
So it was
he
good.
He was smiling
like
at
when
you.
When you had to trust Brady, they didn't overthrow Jules.
Exactly.
He actually got into that discussion.
He did. He opened up about
he
that.
Did.
That was good. Let's go to John in Westport. He wants to kill us for the interview. Go ahead, John.
How you doing, guys?
Good,
What's
John.
What's up?
Hey,
John.
Hey, I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
I think, even though I love your show, I think you guys are being a bit hypocritical because you're criticizing people for doing the exact same thing you guys do.
Which is what?
Which is what? I don't coach the NFL.
yeah, I know you don't, which is a good thing. But actually,
it is.
I think, you know, here's what you guys do. You criticize analysts and other sportscasters, especially if they're on ESPN.
Right.
You love to criticize Dan Le Batard and Stephen A. Smith.
He's not an analyst. He's not an analyst.
They're not analysts.
No, that's a, we could
talk show hosts.
We could disagree with their opinions.
Exactly what you guys do.
No, they're not.
They do exactly what you guys do.
No. No, we disagree with. We're not even bringing up Le Batard and Stephen A. We can disagree with their opinions. Is that okay? But when we talk about an NFL color analyst, I don't do that for a living. So I can just give my opinion on whether I think someone's good at it or not, right? I do baseball games on the radio, so.
No, but I think in general, and I'm not just talking about today, like I thought today's interview with Belichick was the best interview I've ever heard.
No, it's all about him.
You guys, you made him funny, which is almost impossible. But, I mean, you guys actually
funny how?
Did the greatest job I've ever heard on radio with Belichick.
Okay, but what is your point about our criticism?
Because, not just about football analysts, but, like, in general, you guys have a history, even when you were on the morning.
History,
even when you were between 10 and 2.
Right, remember that. Remember that, guys? Between 10 and 2, that was awesome.
Yes.
Between criticizing people,
yes,
who analyze sports, which
that's what we do.
What you guys do.
That's what we do, yes. Guilty as charged.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, John, that's what we
and
do.
People can criticize. And people can criticize us.
We agree with you. That's what we do.
What is the question?
There is no question. There is no point here. We do it, John. That's what you do.
The point is that you're being hypocritical because you're not judging yourselves.
We always judge ourselves. We suck. No, we're not good.
I think we can get a lot better.
We can get a lot better.
You know, but just like Bill, just like
you're saying, for a grade. What's your grade?
But different. Yes, you know what? It depends on what the circumstances are. How do you know what I was supposed to do?
There's people that grade us all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All the time.
John, when you brought up Lebatard and you brought, hold on, when you brought up Lebatard and you brought up Stephen A., they're opinion guys like we are. And yes, we do that. And they do that. That's what opinion guys do. I wasn't understanding your point. I thought it had something to do with the Belichick interview when we were talking about grades. And by the way, when we were talking about grades, we included ourselves. I think one of us said to Belichick, it might have been me, I said, we do this all the time. We criticize something that happens in a game, and yet we don't know whose assignment it was at the time. Fair?
Very honest.
No, you guys rip on Max all the time, but you never rip on Stephen A. Smith.
Okay, I don't know what the Stephen A. Smith is. Yes, we do. And we beat up Lebatard, and we beat up Stephen A.
Thanks
and
for
Max Kellerman.
AM 850 in Boston.
Thank you, and Skip Bayless and all of those people. Yes, 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 we do that. What does that have to do
I
with?
I don't know. All I heard was that was the best interview I've ever heard in my life, and I'm just going to go with that. You know what? It's sometimes you can never get better because you never listen to the negative things. You just focus on the positive things.
God.
And that's what I did.
Didn't Belichick come up with like some philosophical saying that was very similar to yours?
The more you hang around, the more you believe.
He came up with one of those. He like stole one from you or something. No, he did.
No.
I thought I heard one on there.
No, not at all.
Oh.
I tell you what, though, I'm always going to know. Regardless of where I go, who the second string strong safety is in any situation.
So you learned your lesson.
I did.
That was a good response from him, though. But the following
well, that's
week,
the point.
But the following week, you
I
knew
know. Every yeah, freaking week. And I tell you what, it's like one of those things. You know, like the teacher says, "Listen, there's going to be 5 questions on the test, and like I'm going to give you the questions, right? You know, whatever. And but only 2 questions are only 2 of them." Could possibly be there. It's like a law of averages, right? I would sit there and study the 2 that I thought would be on the test, and sure as hell, the test would come, and then the 2 questions that I didn't study would be on the test.
You gotta have answers to those questions.
So can I give you, reading between the lines, what I got out of what we heard? Because it was good stuff, and he gave us some insight into how they deal with criticism, players to their face, et cetera, et cetera. The bye week was good for the New England Patriots. They're okay. He's feeling pretty good, and my guess
the
is
Jets
that
are coming into town.
No, my guess
they're going to New York?
My guess is that Gronk will be back. They're probably feeling better about.
I thought they already reported that he was playing.
No, it's a media report.
Oh,
but that's
yeah.
There was a media report last week. He was going to play in Nashville.
Oh, I'm sorry,
he took the trip. Remember that?
Don't yell at me.
Okay, not yet. Oh, so very sensitive. Don't yell at you.
Not in front of my peers.
Yeah, you're that guy in the room. You know we can't talk to. But I did get a feeling that he's feeling pretty good about this right now. He's feeling so. It was a good bye week.
I'm telling you what, like
I'm just
the
telling
bye
you from experience over the years with Bill.
I will also say, based on everything that's going on, like yeah, I know he's going to say it's always a good time for the bye week. No, it isn't.
No.
The bye week after the 3rd week, 5th week, it's a crappy time for the bye week. You want it after that 7th game, right in the middle, right at the halfway
point.
This
is good now, though.
It's perfect. You have 6 weeks left to play.
Actually, might have been a week or two late.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I like the fact that you basically have a six week season, and that was going to be my next question, but we didn't have any time for it. Do you basically restart, readdress, like, hey, new goals, new energy, new everything, right? Forget about what happened, right? We have a 6 week season. Let's try to go undefeated. That whole mentality,
yeah.
Which I think you would because we got a lot of new guys coming
back.
Well,
they do goals. You know that. There are short-term goals that they have, and they try to.
He said, like, listen, everybody, what did he say, 10% better?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Just 10%?
I'd say they've got to be
Is that enough? I'm not kidding.
If everybody does, then I think that's good. Everybody gets better. I think it's all about health. It's all about Sony Michel. It's all about Gronk. Maybe Burkhead. I don't consider Burkhead. Maybe he's going to be there for a week or two. I don't know.
He's going to get hurt. But Michelle.
Talk about negative. Gronkowski over here.
Very negative.
I would say Michelle, Gronkowski, those guys, and I don't know about this kid, Duke Dawson. We'll see if he can ever get back there and play corner. But it's really about Michelle and Gronk. You get those two back, now you can get your offense back. You
changes
can get your
everything.
Identity back.
Changes
everything. You know, you can get back to doing different things offensively and putting up points. Worry about the other side of the ball. You worry about special teams. I get it. But offensively, you need those two back.
Yeah. I mean, we could sit here and we can rail on the defense or whatever. The defense is what it is. But as it is in 2018, yeah. I look at these other teams. I look at the Rams. I look at the
watch
Chiefs
tonight.
I look at, you know, look at the Saints. I
Although
look at
the
these
Saints
other teams.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Saints probably look better defensively. But again, it could have been who they were playing yesterday because that team is a disaster. Philadelphia Eagles are a mess.
It's amazing.
Shell of themselves.
Well,
boy, that thing fell apart really quickly. I wonder if Lane Johnson's having a lot of fun these days.
Well, they're not out of it yet.
Yeah, well, you know, you may be right.
No, listen,
so Washington,
I'm just saying, it's bad timing.
Yeah, but they're having fun.
But
they're
you lose
fun.
A bad game, right? Last week they lost to the Cowboys, is that right?
Yeah.
That was just a bad loss. And you're like, all right, we got to turn this thing around. We're 4-5. Where do we want to be? What do we got next? We got to go to New Orleans. All right, we'll turn it around the following week. Then. We'll turn everything. You know, it's just bad timing to go up against New Orleans in New Orleans.
Well, here's what it comes down to. If you look at
there's two games out. They're right. Still going to win that division.
You tell me, if New Orleans, if they stay healthy, and obviously health, as you said, Christian, is everything. If they stay healthy and they have home field advantage in the NFC, there is no freaking way that the New Orleans Saints do not represent that conference in the Super Bowl.
Okay,
they're the best team.
The
best team, and at home. They're nearly impossible to beat.
The NFC East alone, you talk about, is Philly done? No, they're not.
They're not.
Because Washington just lost their quarterback.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, to a terrible
lost
injury. Cowboys are 5-5.
Oh,
and Philly's 4-6.
Yeah, they're not. They're going to win that
so,
division.
I mean, you could. You know the winner of that division is going to be 9-7.
How eerie was that it happened 30 years to the day?
With
33
Joe,
years? With Joe Theismann in the crowd in a luxury box.
It's his fault.
That was awful.
It was unbelievable.
It's terrible. But, I mean, again, so you look at that division, not to just make it all about football, but it's wide open because Colt McCoy is your backup.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but they're so beaten up. All right, we got to take another break.
Okay.
All right, we got to do some catching up here.
Yeah,
and
let's
we'll
catch up.
We'll be back.